then there will be some sort of concessions. One of these concessions that come from Saudi Arabia is them asking Syria to abandon Hezbollah. You know, there's a fierce war right now going on, a media war between Saudi Arabia and Hezbollah. What if that's a request? How do you think Syria will respond?
What I'm going to say is not my personal opinion, but from an observation, from observing the behavior of the Syrian government in the past decades, I believe there is an organic merging between increasing the increased merging between Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran happened after 2011, and we are now at the stage where these three players, two state actors and one non-state actor, having a very strategic and military alliance that makes the fate of one of them is related to the rest, depends on the rest. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the Saudis, if they think they can remove Syria from this axis, they are mistaken, because we have seen after 2011 who fights for you in mm-hmm. Syria if you are in danger. It's Iran and Hezbollah. So according to the Syrian perspective, Syrians would never ever abandon their allies in the region.
Well, it's certainly going to be a very interesting new year to begin for Syria and its allies, and along with the new camp that is coming back to Damascus, as they should. I want to thank you very much, Kevork Almasyan, founder of the Syriana Analysis News Outlet and political commentator. And thank you. Please stay tuned next week for more from the Mideast Stream.
The Limelight.
Washington, whose hegemony is on the wane because of backlash of world countries towards its tyranny and long list of crimes against humanity, cannot prevent Beijing from either working towards a One Korea policy and a Chinese umbrella covering East Southeast Asia, or expanding trade and industrial ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran and the West Asian countries, as well as African states, with the markets of Europe and even Latin America now flooded with Chinese goods. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kehan International staff writer. This article is published under the heading, "Xi Outclasses Biden in Virtual Summit." Stay tuned for more. The recent video summit between the presidents of the world's two largest economies centered largely on rhetoric, in which the aging Joe Biden was simply outclassed by the energetic Xi Jinping. China's chief executive drew red lines and spoke of decisive action by Beijing for any move by the breakaway island of Taiwan towards independence, while his U.S. counterpart, who is accused of encouraging the secessionists through arms supplies, considered that Washington adheres to the One China policy. It was clear that the Americans, despite attempts of flexing their aging and aching military muscles in the South China Sea, weren't looking for any confrontation with the rapidly growing might of China. In this age of nuclear warheads and intercontinental ballistic missiles, a war is disastrous for not just the two antagonists, but for the rest of the world, and thus reason dictates that it should be avoided at all costs. insane and illegitimate regimes such as Israel, fearful of their impending end, threaten war and crave for war, which will only accelerate their doom. Moreover, neither the U.S. nor China will ever enter into proxy wars with each other, no matter how strongly Beijing were to denounce any American military move in a third country, or how vehemently Washington were to condemn Chinese intrusions in any neighboring state. The U.S. and China, thus, are more concerned about how to outmaneuver each other in the trade war in a bid to boost their respective economies, rather than boast about their doomsday stockpiles. Both believe that diplomacy is the only viable way to deal with each other. As Xi displayed in the virtual summit by smilingly calling Biden my old friend, while his American counterpart never allowed his tone to become tense and was as courteous as possible. The Americans believe that cutting American tariffs on Chinese imports could reduce inflation, the biggest economic and political headache for the Biden regime. Since, as of October, the U.S. is importing Chinese goods at an annual rate of $600 billion, a 60% increase from the pre-COVID-19 level of October 2018. In other words, trade between the two countries is so extensive that it has a major influence on the U.S. price level, which means it is odd to speak of a Cold War between the U.S. and China when the American industrial economy is massively dependent on Chinese imports. China very well understands the U.S. weakness and is confident that with its vast resources, cheap labor, giant strides in modern technology and its policy of the Roads and Belt Initiative, or BRI, it can surge ahead of its main rival in the long run. All this means Washington, whose hegemony is on the wane because of the backlash of world countries towards its tyranny and long list of crimes against humanity, cannot prevent Beijing from either working towards a One Korea policy and a Chinese umbrella covering East Southeast Asia, or expanding trade and industrial ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran and the West Asian countries, as well as African states, with the markets of Europe and even Latin America now flooded with Chinese goods.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge, on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al Musavi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyya for Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, and we are looking at supplication number 8, verse number 1. Imam Sajjad Salamullah alayhi, in verse number 1, he talks about a few moral traits that we need to avoid, vices more like it. So we spoke about greed, and the second that the Imam seeks refuge in Allah from, we said, is anger. We spoke many times about anger. Today I want to look at the bad effects of anger. What happens to me, you, and to people when we get angry? We will look at it from the narrations of the Ahl Bayt Salamullah alayhim, rather than from a psychological perspective or medical perspective. One, when a person gets angry, one of the main bad effects is that the person loses his intellect. When a person gets angry, he loses his logic. He loses his intellect. He becomes a different creature altogether. He becomes a person that is not balanced when it comes to his actions or to his sayings. And you can relate to that because you would have seen many people in the situation that they become so angry that everyone around them gets amazed and surprised to the things that they do. So after being quiet and calm, all of a sudden he blows up and he's a different human being altogether. And sometimes when a person gets in such an angry state, he does things he will regret. Let us take a break and then we continue, inshallah.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Before the break, we said when a person gets angry, he loses his intellect to the extent that he might cause harm to those who are around them. He might even attack the closest people to him or her. Sometimes you would have heard stories about people being angry, males on females, and resulting in taking the life of their spouses. And we have many stories like that. We have times where a father or a mother or a parent in general gets angry at their kids to the extent they hit them hard enough that causes them either death or at least damage. So when a person in a state of anger, he or she is no longer in control of their logic, their brain, their intellect, nothing goes out of the door. They become different creatures. And they could cause effect and damage to those who are close to them. And sometimes it could result in even polluting their hands with the blood of the innocent. So sometimes it's on a massive scale. Sometimes a person gets angry with someone and he ends up taking their life. That's just one life. Sometimes a person gets angry and he takes 100 lives, 1,000 lives. It starts a war and then their hands become polluted with the blood of those who are innocent. So they kill and they will injure other people. They will destroy, they will steal, they will cause corruption. All of this happens instantly when a person gets angry. Why? Because he is no longer, or she is no longer, in control of their intellect. They turn into a wild beast. And mind you, we're not talking about a stranger here. This could happen to me and you if we do not put a leash on our anger. Let us take a break and then we continue.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Just before the break, we said one of the bad effects of anger is that the person who gets angry, whether it's me, you, or those who are around us, at that state, we lose our intellect. We lose that aql that Allah has given us. And aql in Arabic means to hold something or tie something, which means I need to have a control and a hold of my anger. If I unleash it, then be sure there will be damage, either physical damage or either at least verbal damage. Sometimes you get angry at, you know, your wife or your husband or your child or your friend or somebody close, and you say very hurtful things to them. Now, these things will stay with them forever. It's not easy to wipe out or delete what you've just done or what you've just said. So when a person gets angry, they don't even have the capacity to hold their tongues from saying things they don't want to say. That's why Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, in a hadith, he says, "Al-ghadabu yufsudu al-albab." Anger destroys and pollutes logic. وَيُبْعُدُ عَنَ الصَّوَابِ, and will push you further away from the truth and from the right thing. Because you are no longer in control, anger has polluted, destroyed your logic, and when that logic is gone, obviously the result that will come is the wrong, is the khata laysa sawab, as we say, the wrong, not the right. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi says in another hadith, لَا يُعْرَفْ الرَّائِي إِلَّا عَنْدُ الْغَضَبِ. Those whom you see, you will not understand who they are or their true nature unless or when they get angry. When a person gets angry, if he controls his anger, if he puts a leash on it, if he's in control, then you know that's a good person. If he unleashes his anger and hell breaks loose, as we say, then you know that's a person that has no logic and you should stay away from them as much as you can. And we, from here, we have many narrations that says if you want to test a person, test them based on their anger. If they control it, they're good. If not, they are bad. We'll leave it here. We will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about pondering on a wonderful maxim
from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. The worst of people is he who has two faces and two tongues, praises his brother in front of him, and eats his flesh in his absence.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
A new study shows that moderate consumption of tea and coffee may be better for your health than previously thought. The study conducted by a Chinese medical university says tea and coffee can help keep stroke and dementia at bay. And if you're wondering what is meant by moderate consumption, it's defined as something between 2 and 5 cups of tea and coffee, either alone or combined in one day. The study followed more than 360,000 people aged 50 to 74 for over a decade. Some scientists have praised the study as robust. Others, however, say the participants were all selected from the UK Biobank, which means they're healthier than the general population. Pomegranate has a special place in Iranian culture. There is a trace of the fruit everywhere from poetry to cooking. Iranians even hold a pomegranate festival in the fall. This year the event is held in one of the main parks in the capital, Tehran. The festival features different varieties of pomegranates that are grown across Iran. The visitors can also find pomegranate products, including juices, concentrates, and dressings. The event includes cultural parades, music concerts, and traditional live performances. Iranians say they always welcome the pomegranate season, as it's one of the old symbols in the country's literature and art. The Christmas season always brings happiness and joy to people around the world. Many Parisians these days are taking a respite from the daily routines and hitting famous departmental stores now light up with present boxes. Cheerful families could be spotted at Christmas decorated galleries, Lafayette and Printemps department stores. Automated figures and colorful window displays are the center of attractions for them and their children. It's a season when people buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones and stores make big profits this time around. Many Parisians say they want to take advantage of this period as the government is debating whether or not to impose a COVID-related lockdown. In Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days. Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting with holiday-themed and full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, year and a half that we've had.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's, like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real and real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
From a gray and gloomy look to a cheery and colorful appearance. That's a story of how a neighborhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing color and joy to this hilly neighborhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with all the neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. is the largest in South America.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth named Terry was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mazer X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to four cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The four were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for two reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Here's what you can call killing two birds with one stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbuk Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
Often, it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know? Because it's not every day we get to, like, do stuff like this, so, yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats. But here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershey, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks. But here, it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for today is We All Make Mistakes. Today, Friday, is the 13th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. My colleagues, make this part of the Holy Quran prepared for you to listen to chapter At-Taghabun, verses 17 to 18. Let's listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن تقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعفه لكم ويغفر لكم والله شكور حليم.
If you loan Allah a goodly loan, He will multiply it for you and forgive you. And Allah is most appreciative and forbearing.
عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الحكيم.
Knower of the unseen and the witnessed, the exalted in might, the wise.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
He, Allah, forgives us and appreciates our lending Him a goodly loan. Better rewards, affection, and compensation are unimaginable. It's impossible to transcend such majesty and graciousness. Our possessions all belong to Allah, but we will receive such great rewards in return for lending such goodly loan. Such reward reflects the significance of expending in Allah's cause on the one hand and the infinite bounties bestowed upon His servants on the other. The blessed verse is also saying that God Almighty is all aware of the seen and the unseen, and He is the omnipotence. The All-Wise, God Almighty, is all aware of what His servants do in private and in public.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
We all make mistakes. Who do not make mistakes? Well, we all do. But how many of us take care of our mistakes? Indeed, very few. Okay, but what do I mean by taking care of mistakes? This is like thinking about our mistakes as we think about our success. Well, we can celebrate our success, share it with our family and friends. This makes them happy and feel proud of us. These are reasons success are important. But what about mistakes? Do we or our friends or families feel happy on our mistakes? Definitely not. But yet mistakes are important. Why mistakes are important, or how it benefits us, why we make mistakes? We may make additional mistakes by ignoring our mistakes. Mistakes are important for a number of reasons. Mistakes help us achieving success and maintaining it.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to take lessons from our own mistakes. In this regard, we find that making mistakes, inadvertent mistakes, makes us know ourselves much better than before, okay? And we will be able to find out and realize the correct way or the correct method or correct strategy. And at the same time, it makes us feel some sort of feeling responsibility. We receive this feeling that we are responsible for some other jobs or some other tasks entrusted to us. Now we find that what may be expected of us to do. For example, nobody asks, a teacher of literature to be able to teach, let's say, for example, mathematics or vice versa. So we find out that if we are not able to teach, for example, mathematics, we shouldn't propose ourselves that we are, for example, a good teacher of mathematics. Okay, we have to think that, okay, of which tasks can be, which tasks we can perform far better. Another one is that when we know that, for example, a way is wrong, we shouldn't repeat it again. Okay, when you drive and, for example, you've gone the wrong way, next time when you reach the same spot, you have to remember that, for example, in a former time, you made that mistake so that you are not expected to make that mistake again and again. And another one in this regard is that we have to accept the responsibilities of the tasks and jobs we are entrusted to. Thank you very much.
Come here to look at how Prophet Muhammad corrected mistakes. Be strategic. We cannot read about the gentleness and empathy of Prophet without also noticing his astuteness in helping people move forward. The Prophet knew when people had the strength to bear the consequences of their mistakes and when there were other priorities to consider. A Meccan teenager and his friends mocked Bilal while he made the call to prayer after the Muslims had conquered Mecca. When the Prophet saw this, he summoned the boy, who trembled in fear at that point. Instead of scolding him, the Prophet asked if the boy had a strong voice. When the boy affirmed, the Prophet spent some time with him reciting the words of Adhan with him until they were memorized. The Prophet rested his hand on the boy's chest and prayed for him. The boy, now enamored with the Prophet, asked that he be allowed to call people to prayer. Benefits of making mistakes. Mistakes fuel our understanding. And And there is nothing like learning from our own mistakes for helping us get the point. The warnings and experiences of others have great merit and value. But immersed in the reality of making our own mistakes, the lessons we learn become infinitely more memorable and make so much more sense. And gaining that understanding might just be what keeps us from making bigger mistakes in the future. Mistakes that might be much harder to recover. Mistakes catapult our creativity. We tried and it didn't work, and now we get the chance to try again, but differently this time, forcing us to consider alternatives, to search and discover new possibilities. Our mistakes can help us develop deep into our imaginations and harness our creativity, adjusting, adopting, and responding to new information.
ألم يعلموا أن الله هو يقبل التوبة عن عباده? Do they not know that Allah accepts repentance from His repentance from His servants? Allah is inviting us to go back to Him, no matter what sin we've committed. وأن الله هو التواب الرحيم. Allah is the all-forgiving. All-forgiving. Tawab is an exaggeration form. Tawab means He doesn't accept our forgiveness just once or twice. He keeps on accepting our repentance. He keeps on forgiving us. At-Tawwab Rahim. Because no matter how much we sin and we seek forgiveness and we go back to Him, Allah accepts. Allah forgives. Allah doesn't say enough is enough. وَهُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Every day He keeps on forgetting and forgiving again and again and again and again. Allah is all forgiving. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah is the one that is all forgiving and He accepts the repentance of His servants. وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And He forgives the sins, especially the minor sins. السيئات are the minor sins. He forgives them. ويعفو عن السيئات ويعلم ما تفعلون. And He knows what you do. We see that the Quran, for example, has conditions for tawbah. True repentance has conditions. One of the conditions we find in the Quran for tawbah is that we speed towards tawbah. We don't delay our tawbah. We don't delay seeking forgiveness. When we commit a sin, we have to apologize and seek forgiveness immediately and not to delay. Not to delay. Allah says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah will surely forgive. For whom? Forgives whom? لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ. Those who commit a sin out of idiocy, out of not paying attention, right? Jahala doesn't mean ignorance. It means idiocy. You know, a lot of times we say this, I was such an idiot. Why did I do this? I was such an idiot. Indeed, times of idiocy. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. And then they seek forgiveness immediately, right away. They don't delay. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those are the ones whom Allah forgives. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is all knowing and all wise.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us, inshallah. We meet you in another episode of today's special. Until then, we'll leave you in Allah's protection.
I don't wanna run anymore. Forgive me, Lord, don't close your door. I promise I surrender. I'm giving you my heart and my soul. I've been thinking about my past. I wanna say I found you, Lord, at last. I just wanna tell you that I really love you. I know you'll always be by my side.
Astaghfirullah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.